So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Welcome everybody, it's Dan Latto speaking. We are live. Welcome to the Business Growth Show, part of the Wealth Creation Podcast. We go live Monday, Wednesday and Fridays. Mondays is Business Growth, Wednesdays is Property, and Fridays is Mindset and Hustle Show. Today is the Business Growth Show because I think it's a Monday. Pretty sure everything's rolling into one still. We've just been out for a cheeky little Burger King, me and the little one, and it's really nice to see people out there here in Spain, actually at cafes and that kind of thing, but still socially distant, everyone wearing masks, so that's really cool. So in this session today, I want to talk to you about why you should be automating your business, like, straight away. Like, I get why people do this. They start a business and they start doing everything. They are doing everything from the marketing to the delivery of a product through to writing copy to sweeping up to putting a kettle on to cleaning, everything. And it's like, why are you doing that? You need to find a way of outsourcing some of this stuff almost straight away. So if I was to put this into context in terms of how many hours I actually work versus how many hours you actually work, I actually get more done through less hours. And we get better results through less hours because of the way in which we do it. So let me give you an example. So for example, like, I don't know, last week was quite an intense week. Last week, we put in a lot of work. We probably did about 20 hours. That, for me, that's a heavy week, okay? I don't know how people work these 40-hour weeks, 50-hour weeks, 60-hour weeks. Your relationships are shot. Everything's shot. You know, your wife's leaving you. Your husband's already left you. Your kids don't know who you are. If you're working 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week, I don't know how you maintain everything. Last week was a busy week for me. It was 20 hours. But if we were to take the average for an entrepreneur, I'm guessing it's between 40 and 50. Between 40 and 50 hours. Now, I get more done in my 20 hours than most people do in their 40 or 50 hours because my 20 hours are not 20 hours. I'm not doing 20 hours. I'm doing like 240 hours. 300 hours a week. So like, let's work that through, okay? We pay people 40 hours a week. So if you were to times that by five people, 300 hours a week, that's 1,200 hours a month. Think about that. Now, you've got five people doing the work, and what you're doing is you're managing these people right here. That's what you should be doing. Instead, you are managing you, and then you're wondering why you're so tired, why you're so burnt out. And this is the other aspect here. Just making sure you can see this. On this side right here, while you're busy burning out and doing all these hours, my 20 hours are built thinking. That's not a thinking sign, is it? My 20 hours are really built around thinking what I want to do with this business. That's a fluffy cloud. That's me thinking. So turn it into a brain. That is literally the state of my brain. But that is why we are doing better than average, because we're not the ones doing the work. And it's, I get why it's so hard right at the start for you to hire somebody. But look, it's £10 an hour. If you're hiring someone at £10 an hour, or if you could hire someone for £10 an hour, but you're making the decision not to, guess what? How much money you earn? I did this with someone. I said, I know, I can guess immediately how much money you're worth. I can guess. Let me tell you how I do it. Who does your marketing? Who does the quotes? Who does the on-site visits? Who does the customer service? Well, I do it all. Okay. So you're on less than £10 an hour, probably on about £8.50 an hour. We go, no, I'm on more than that. Are you? Well, if you're on more than that, why are you not paying someone £8.50 an hour while you're earning £15 an hour? You're up £6.50 an hour. Why are you not doing that? And then it kind of sinks in. We go, oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. You've got to start outsourcing almost immediately. So even if, like, for example, we just took somebody on last week, okay? Amount of work that they're doing in a week is 7 hours. 7 hours a week at £9 an hour. So that's what? £63 a week. What can we get them to do for that 7 hours? Whatever you want, within reason, as long as it's legal. Is it accountancy? Is it getting on the phones and phoning up everyone in the database? 7 hours, £9 an hour. And by the way, when we recruit for people like this, we're not recruiting for a salesperson who comes in and demands £25,000 a year based on 40 hours a week. That's the wrong way of doing it. We recruit based on, okay, we've got a job, it's £9 an hour. We don't even tell them what it is. Sometimes we say it's customer service. We don't want to tell people what the actual job is, because then you'll attract people who think they're worth more than £9 an hour. That's not what we want. That's not how we structure our business. We want lower paid people that we can then bring in and train. And now we're £9-10 an hour is about our going rate. Sometimes it's 12 or 13, just depends what it is. But around there, depends on the job, the person. Sometimes it's here in Spain, so it's €9 an hour, which is way above the average, which is like €6 or €7 for the hour. So it just depends. But it's like, what can we get this person to do for 7 hours a week? Now, if it's going to cost me £63 every week, can we get someone to hit the phones and sell stuff, and can they make more than £63 a week? Really, that's our focus. If they're doing an hour and 15 every day, an hour and a half every single day, 5 days a week, can we get them to sell something that's going to pull in at least £63 of profit? And if the answer is yes, so let's say it costs £63, but the income is, let's say, 103, because I can do the maths easy, that means we're £40 up. Great, let's double the hours. Let's get up to 14 hours. And this might go up to £103, let's just say, of profit. Because we've doubled the hours, and now we're able to build better relationships and so on. So if you're not doing this right from the start, if you are the person who works in the business, and you're the only person that works in the business, you're going to really struggle. For the next 20 years, you're going to be doing the same thing day out. And people say, how do you grow so fast? I don't. I get other people to come in and help the business grow. So then, who do you recruit first? That's the question. Let's just break down several areas of a business. So one area of the business that can slow people down is accounting. Like, if I was on stage, I'd go, hands up, who loves accounting? And nobody puts their hands up. And nobody likes accounting, other than weirdos called accountants. You get some people that like numbers and so on. But accounts, I don't want to do accounts. Let's pull someone in, they can do the accounts. People go, what about your tax return? I go, I don't fill in a tax return. Well, you have to fill in a tax return. Yeah, I don't fill it in. My accountant fills it in, emails it, says, what do you think of this? I'm like, yeah, go on, I'll sign it, send it back. He does it, I pay my tax. Done. I'm not filling in tax returns once a year at the end and getting headaches and stressed out. I'm at the beach or I'm in the pool or doing whatever. I don't want to be doing accounting. Next one then, customer services. Now, customer services is named wrong. It shouldn't be called customer services. I'm going to put a line through that, because it should be called sales. You know, like in businesses, and we have sales over here and customer services over there, and the sales, they just sell it, and it doesn't matter if they lie about selling it, and then it gets passed over to customer services. They deal with all the angry customers because they've been missold something. And they don't really care, because now you've got the money anyway, but you're just trying to get them off the phone because you don't want like grumpy customers phoning you because they're being missold. Like I've worked in big businesses, how that works, by the way. You don't want that. Customer services and sales is the same damn thing. And for me, we actually put little clusters, little groups, little teams. And that's the way in which we grow our business. We don't want 500 people in customer service and 250 in sales. We want 750 in customer services and sales. They're the account manager. So the person selling it, if there's a problem later on, they're having to deal with that problem because they've missold it. They take ownership of it. Hey, Johnny, hope you're well. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Much appreciated. So the key here is to separate what you want to happen. Like, what is the first problem in your business? It could be marketing, for example. And obviously, if you're marketing, like, you can hire someone at £10 an hour, or you can hire us, and we've got a six-month plan for what you could do. So you could do it that way if you want. But you've got accounting, you've got customer services and sales, you've got marketing. What other aspect of the business is there? How about delivery of the product? So let's say you're a roofer. You don't want to do accounting. You don't really want to do customer services and sales. You don't really want to be doing the marketing, and you don't really want to be delivering it. Maybe you want to be managing people. Maybe that's where your skill set lies, and you hate delivering the roofing. Like one of the businesses that we're just putting together right now is a property maintenance company to tie into the lettings agency that we've just acquired part of. And also the business then ties into all of my maintenance that I have to do on my multi-million pound portfolio up in Leeds. So it all ties into one. I don't do any of this. I don't do the accounting. I don't do the customer services or sales. I don't do the marketing, but my business does. That's the team of people. I'm definitely not out there fixing leaky pipes. I'm managing all of this. And that's where you should be as well. But you've got to work out what is the bit that you want to outsource. I see people, and they one of the big mistakes I see them make is that they think that they can just instantly outsource management so they can go blue sky thinking. And that's really not a great idea because they don't teach the managers what their expectations are. So the managers come in with their own expectations, which are completely different to the business owners. And so it all gets into a big mishmash. So on each of these levels, you still have to train and teach people what the expectations are, what the values are, what the messaging is, what the communication is at every single level. Because each one of these levels as well is speaking to a customer. Every single one will be speaking to a customer. And if you're not managing the messaging, this is you up here, if you're not managing it, they're going to get a wrong idea about what you are about. Does that make sense? Just checking if there's any comments. So what else can you outsource? So we've got accounting, don't want to do that. We've got customer services and sales. Like we're talking, let's say 5 hours a week, £10 an hour, £50. It's going to cost you £200 a month for one of these. Which one do you want? Johnny, who are you going to have? Who do you need? What bits of the business do you not enjoy? Or what bits of the business do you need to do more of? I would say, by the way, that marketing is probably one of the big ones. I think I've got a different colour pen that works. Let me try this first one here. I would say, for me, marketing, for most people, for most small businesses, I would say it's marketing. That's what you need to get rid of first. You can't get sales until you've got enough marketing done. You can't deliver the product until you've sold something. You can't manage a bunch of people until you've got a sale of some kind. So it's marketing number one. Probably sales number two, number three might be on delivery, number four might be on accounting, number five might be managing. Like, this is just my list, just a list I've literally made up. And then let's just focus on marketing a little bit in this particular session. And because there's a couple of things I just want to say about this, but I see many people getting wrong. So we get a client, for example, and they come to me and they go, well, I want to do this. I want to create this thing. I want to sell this. I want to make this trading course. I want to sell it. I want to make this amount of money. And we go, great. How many? Let's stick some numbers up. Let's say they've got a trading course, £300. They want to sell 10 every month, making £3,000 a month. Great. We know what the target actually is then. If you've got any questions, stick them in the box, by the way. We know that that's the amount of money that they want to earn. And then we say to them, that's wonderful. How many Facebook friends have you got? And they go, I've got 375 Facebook friends. Can you see the problem here? How many people on LinkedIn? I've got 125 and let's say 300 on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn, Twitter and Facebook. So what's that? 400, is that 700? 400, 500, 800 people. And out of 800 people, we're trying to sell 10 training programs every single month to 800 people. You've got a problem. The problem is called reach. You haven't got enough people. So once you've identified which is the bit that you need to start doing first, then you need to start understanding your reach. And have you got the availability to sell this to this? Because most people haven't. Let's see what Johnny's got to say. Yeah, those regular bits of work to keep the profile up and the interest flowing through the funnel. That's exactly it. because most people are focusing, I should say, on this right here, and in particular these 10 sales per month, and they're not focusing on their reach. At the moment, we've only got 8,000. What if they had 8,000? Do you think that is an easier sale now? Absolutely. But you can't sell anything if people don't know you. Thank you, Johnny, by the way. You can't sell anything if people don't know you. What about 80,000 people? Stick a little comma in there. Do you think it's easier to sell 10 programs a month to 80,000 people? What do you think? Yeah? It's a no-brainer, right? What about 800,000 people? And we're not there yet, by the way, on 800,000 people. We've not had 800,000 downloads yet of the podcast. We've not had 800,000 YouTube users. We've had over 1 million minutes, by the way, watch, which is pretty cool, but that's not the same thing. So it's like, how do you get to increase your reach? Start adding some zeros onto these. How do you start doing that? You do it by putting out more content. So then out of that list that we had before, we had, let me get rid of this and I'll write the list again. Out of this list that we had before, if you need to increase your reach, which for many people is a thing that they need to start doing, you need to start outsourcing the work. So we had accounting, sales, marketing. And right here, under marketing, you've got content creation, which in turn will increase the amount of reach to some extent. If you've got 1,000 people on Facebook and you're putting out some really good pieces of content, other people that are not connected to you, as long as they engage with that content then gets shared about. But you've got to start creating a lot of content. Now, you can go for paid advertising. That is like some bottomless bucket called Facebook. You just take your money out of the bank and just go chuck it at people who work at Facebook. Because that's pretty much what happens for most people. That's why we don't focus on paid content. We focus on content creation because we want to increase our reach. And then the people that are watching that content will like, will subscribe, will download the podcast. And then over a period of time, then that reach increases and then it turns into sales. But this is really about you. What are you going to outsource first? How do you get to do 240 hours a week, 300 hours a week, and actually only work 20 hours? And it's by you not doing the work, but by your team doing the work. I mean, I woke up this morning and we had two property investment brochures done, lined up, waiting. You might have seen a landing page for that we've created, which I actually created, in fact, did that bit myself, and then sent that out. And we've had people subscribe and signed up to that email list, and they've now received a property brochure. We've got calls coming in. Like, literally, that's what should happen. But for most people, they go, we've got a property to sell. Let me create a Facebook post, and that takes 20 minutes or an hour. You know, we have to create an image. Like, the brochure, like, our team just went and did it. I mean, it looks amazing, by the way. If it was me to do that, that would have taken me 5 hours. It took somebody else 5 hours who were paying lower than I would get paid for doing it. That's the way forward. That's what you need to start doing. We're living in 2020, folks. The world is a lot smaller. We can get up to the ISS space station in less than 19 hours. We can get into space in 9 minutes. It takes a bit longer to get to the space station. I used to take 3 days that journey, by the way. That takes 19 hours, which is phenomenal, right? That is the speed, the velocity of business, to quote Bill Gates' book, business at the speed of thought. That's where I need you to be. And you do that by you removing each one of these, pass it on to someone else, and now you're starting to think on this top-down point of view to start working out where you want to go with the business, what do you want to do, what products do you want to create, and you get other people to help you create them. All right, that will do us for today. We're live again on Wednesday in the Property Cashflow Show. Come and join me for that. If you've got any questions, stick them in down below. I'll still catch them even though this training session's finished. Other than that, come and speak to us on the podcast. Let me see. Johnny's just got a quick question. What about the challenge of making money to pay the assistant to help you make more money? Should people put a monetary value on VA's action to make sure it generates return? So yes is the answer. But now I'm a great believer in starting a business on zero money, okay? However, I recognize that that's not so easy to do. If you've got someone doing 5 hours a week times £10 an hour, £10 an hour, that's £50 a week, which is 1 month equals £200. Over 6 months, that's £1,200, right? Now, the question I've got for you is, you need to have some faith in your business so that you know that, like, Johnny, I don't know what your price point is, but let's say it's 200 quid just for the sake of argument. You're now getting 20 hours of work. You might sell one product. You're going to make 200 quid. Now you've broken even. Honestly, if you can break even in your first month, I kind of like that. Do you know what I mean? Like month two, month three, break even. I'm really happy with that. Because what you're doing is, I'm sure you've heard this story about the bamboo. Let me just remove that so you can see this diagram. I'm sure you've heard the story of the bamboo. So the farmer comes and he plants a bamboo year one, and he comes back and there's nothing there. Comes back second year, there's still nothing there. He thought it would have grown by now, but it hasn't. Month three, he comes back and there's still nothing there. Year four, he comes back, still nothing there. Year five, he's like, what happened? I planted this bamboo seed and it should have shot up. He comes back year six, and it's like 100 feet tall. And it's like, what happened there? And for the first 5 or 6 years of that bamboo's life, it was making a foundation. It was settling its roots. And only when you've settled your roots can you grow this. Most people are too busy focusing on this right here and not thinking about the roots that they're focusing on right here. Most businesses fail in 5 years, 95%, something like that, 85%, whatever that number is, it's really high. And the reason why most businesses fail is they're so focused on growing the thing, they haven't got any roots, any systems to implement. They don't have any of that kind of thing. So that's what you've got to start focusing on. And this right here is one of these routes right here, right? Self-improvement is another route for you. Learning, going on courses, reading, downloading podcasts, all of that separate thing. And you've got like 500 routes of different things that you need to learn. But when you grow all of these properly, then the business can thrive. Most people are trying to make the business thrive without actually growing any substantial roots. Get to break-even point. It's going to take a little bit of an investment, right? But how many businesses or how many assets do you know that requires zero investment that gives a good rate of return? None. We can do rent to rent. Is that even an asset? You don't even own the damn thing. Try selling a rent to rent. You might get a grand for it as a deal. Try selling a rent to rent house. You can't do it, right? It's just not doable. This is a business. It's an asset that should have solid foundations, and that's what you need to be investing in. And then the profits come later. Everybody wants to be rich, you know, everybody wants the money, but first you've got to start doing this and then that will come later. All right, thanks, Johnny, for the question. We'll catch up with everybody on Wednesday. Have a good couple of days. We'll speak to you soon. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.